never know what children are going to do in church. You know, our little granddaughter here, 2 years old, she calls me Pops. Her parents had, they were visiting a church up in Pennsylvania just recently here, a Methodist church, and during the service, they kind of had to go get Ella out of the nursery. She wasn't real happy. They brought her in the service, and she was sitting there just fine and looking around and watching everybody. And then the pastor was talking. He was preaching the message, and he said something. He was talking about traditions and how we honor traditions, but we don't get hung up on traditions. And he said something like, such as the traditions we have here at church. And as soon as he said the word church, Ella piped up and said, church? Church? Pop's church. Pop's church. Where's Pops? Where's Pops? She had this powerful association of Pops with church, and they had to say, shh, be quiet. It's not the same church. We're at a different church now. So you never know what a kid's going to say, right? She's in Pops' church today. Aren't you? Huh? Okay. You know, Jesus had a lot of different things that he called us. Said, y'all are like this, and y'all are like that. One time he said that we, his people, we were like yeast. Yeast that gets into the loaf and makes it a whole lot bigger and to rise. Another time in this scripture we read this morning, Susan read for us, he said, you are like a city set on a hill, shining its light. Another time he said, you are like the branches of a vine. I'm the vine, you're the branches. And another time he said, you're like sheep, and I'm the good shepherd. Well, here in Matthew 5:13, what does he call us? What does he call his people? He says, you are the salt of the earth. What does that mean? What does that mean? How is he trying to describe our role? Well, if we have to ask the question, what does salt do? If you ask the average person today, what does salt do? He or she would probably say, well, it flavors. It gives flavor to stuff. But that wouldn't be the right thing. That wouldn't be what Jesus was talking about. In his day and time, what salt did was not flavor, but to preserve. They very much needed salt to preserve things. In the day before you had refrigerators and Tupperware and Ziploc bags and all those things that we have today, you really needed salt to keep food from going rotten. For instance, when the fishermen would catch their fish, as soon as possible, they would get it into a brine solution, a salty solution, so that the fish wouldn't spoil. Salt, in their day and time, was understood as something that keeps things from going rotten. So, is that what we Christians are? The preserving agents in a rotten world? According to Jesus, that's true. That's our role. Remember in Romans 12:2, Paul told us that we are not supposed to be conformed to this world. We're not supposed to be assimilated by it, but we are supposed to be changed by Christ and then go out and change our world and make it better and prove whatever is the will of God, whatever is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul said that in Romans 12:2. We are conservatives. In the truest sense of the word, we want to conserve and preserve God's goodness in the world. We're not talking about the political sense of conservative, but we want to be God's people. Whenever it comes to choosing God's way or the world's way, we're going to vote with and we're going to vote for God and goodness. If we do, then we are indeed the salt of the earth. Keeping it from moral decay, keeping it away from destruction, keeping it from falling apart. Have you ever read the Bible in the Old Testament, especially the book of Deuteronomy? Read the book of Deuteronomy sometime, and you'll be amazed at how familiar those laws are. The laws of restitution, the laws of property, the laws of fairness, the laws of what judgments should be handed down when people have arguments with one another. You'll say, this sounds familiar. This sounds like the laws we have on our books today. This sounds like the laws of the state of Virginia. And that is exactly true. God gave us these good laws, and we have adapted them and adopted them in our society because we recognize that they are good They preserve a society and a culture and help it to keep together and to go on in a good and moral way. God's been in the preserving business for a long, long time. He preserved life and all of mankind when he kept Noah and his family and all the animals through the flood. Ours is a preserving God. And he hangs on to a remnant of his people and allows them to replenish the spiritual life that he wants them to have. He's a very preserving God all the way around. Our Jewish and Christian values are what's making this world decent and good. If we were atheists, a true atheist would have no reason for being good. There's no moral value. There's no good or bad or right or wrong for those who say there is no God. There's no greater power, no greater standard. So if you want your neighbor's wife, just take her. You want your neighbor's wallet? Go ahead, just shoot him. What difference does it make? You see a poor person? You want to ignore them? Go ahead. There's no greater value or good if there is no God. But there is a God, and he moves his people towards such things as justice and mercy and responsibility and compassion and caring and so much more. So we, the church, are indeed the salt of the earth. We are witnesses to the saving power of God's people today. Whenever you and I see something wrong, we want to make it right. And we stubbornly hold to the good because we are going to be the salt of the earth. How can salt be effective as a preserving agent? Well, you know, first it has to be available. It has to be applied to whatever it is it's being going to preserve. And that's why Jesus didn't want his church, after he was resurrected, and after he came back and talked to them, he didn't want his church just sitting together there in Jerusalem. When he came back to them, he said, y'all are supposed to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I want this salt all over the place, not just located in one spot. So y'all get out there and be the salt of the earth, preserving what God wants preserved in you. Therefore, that's exactly what happened. The gospel, we read it in Acts, went out from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to where? Italy? And Paul wanted to go on to Spain. And we know very well that the gospel went out throughout the whole world and it got into England. And from England and other countries, it came over to a place called America. And it even reached throughout all of America to a place like Moseley, Virginia, and all across this world. The salt has gotten out there, and it's made all the difference in the world. Remember many years ago reading Corrie Ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place? Corrie Ten Boom was a believer in Christ who was captured by the Nazis and put in a concentration camp because she and her family had been protecting Jews and helping them to escape from being killed. Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy were put in this horrible concentration camp. When they first arrived at that camp, the conditions were terrible, of course, and the women in the barracks were constantly fighting with one another. When it came time to go to bed, they were on these straw mattresses that were stacked up one above the other in bunks, and there was always fighting, there was fussing, there was pulling of blankets. Somebody would move and straw would fall on somebody else, and there was all sorts of cursing going on in the barracks. Of women. Terrible place, terrible time. But Corey's sister Betsy had a sweet spirit about her. She was a believer in Jesus Christ and she just treated everybody kindly. She told them about Jesus and his love. She was sweetness. When everybody else was ugly and bitter around her, she was sweet. She was kind. And Corrie Ten Boom says something amazing happened in that barrack. Betsy's sweet spirit started to be conveyed to other women there. And they started to believe and trust in Jesus. And sweetness was met with sweetness, and kindness was starting to be met with kindness. So that now when the women started going to bed, they were looking out for one another. They weren't fighting for space. They were sharing space with one another. If somebody moved and knocked straw on somebody else's head, there was a sweet apology. Oh, I'm sorry that that happened. Corrie Ten Boom's sister Betsy was very much the salt of the earth in a terrible hellhole like a concentration camp. You know, salt, in order to be a really preserving agent, has to go from being in a granular state to being in a liquid state. It has to dissolve in liquid and in order to penetrate where it needs to go. And likewise, we Christians have to submit ourselves to the Lordship of Christ and kind of be broken down and changed and then be made into the transforming, preserving power that He wants us to be. Then we can move into our neighborhoods. Then we can move into our state. Then we can move into our world and be God's people. Now, the scripture here says that salt can lose its effectiveness. That's a little bit puzzling, because you and I are only familiar with pure salt. Once it's salt, it stays salt, and it's always salty. But in their day and time, when they would mine salt, it was mixed with other minerals that didn't have anything to do with salt. And after a while, they would use salt, and it would lose its saltiness. The salt would dissolve out of it, and there would be nothing less but inert chemicals. They could go to the Dead Sea and have all this salt stacked up on the sides, but after it sat out in the sun and in the weather, it would soon get bleached and it wouldn't be salt anymore. Jesus knew that property of salt, and so He would tell them, now if the salt loses its saltiness, what do people do with it? You know what they did with it? It's no longer salty, they just threw it out into the street to get rid of it. That's why the Bible says where it will be trampled on by men. If you lose your saltiness, you're not good for anything to God. He can just throw you out in the street and you can fill the potholes. That's about what Jesus is saying. So He says, be the salt of the earth. Keep on being the salt of the earth. Don't lose your effectiveness. So be careful what you read. Be careful what you watch on TV or what movies you take in. Be careful what you think or what you believe or what value systems you buy into. Because it just might be. In doing so, you get in love with the world and you go the world's ways and you lose your saltiness. Jesus says that would be a shame. So let's not forget who we are today. We are God's salty people, meant to preserve so much. These parents who dedicated themselves say, I want to be the salt of the earth and preserve goodness and God's presence for my children. We've got to watch our language around children. If we use salty language around children, you know what salty language is, don't you? Yeah. If we use salty language around our children, what happens? It gets repeated, doesn't it? And then they have that kind of language at work in their lives. Folks, you and I are the ones who are sent out to preserve and save this world and the dying people in it. Let's not forget that. Let's be faithful. Let's remain the salt of the earth.